Welcome to Reality NSFW. I am your host, Alex Trias, and I'm back again for episode 8 of the challenge Spies, Lies, and Allies. And with me, I have my co-host, Lauren. How are you doing?
I'm doing fabulous. I'm excited to talk about this episode. Priscilla came to the party, and I am here for it. She brought the fire, she brought the heat. And I'm so excited to see what happens next week, but we'll talk about this episode, but next week is going to be fire because of what she did.
Absolutely. So to be honest, ever since the beginning, like we were downplaying Priscilla, like, oh, where's Priscilla? But I kept note every single episode, like they're peppering in confessionals of her talking about the situation. There has to be a reason other than just, oh, we want to get her on TV. Cause there's other people that they're not giving any screen time to whatsoever. And 8 episodes in, it finally pays off. We see Priscilla make her move. I will have more opinions of it as we go through the episode on why it isn't a horrible move that she has done, even though it's going to be most likely a short-term thing for her, and why it is all the veterans' fault for it happening.
Oh, and it's 100% the veterans' fault for it happening. I mean, she opens up the floodgates with what she decided to do. And I think had Ashley not made that comment, I don't think Priscilla would have maybe done it. I think the comment took her over the edge and she's like, you know what? If people have something to say about it, guess what? I'm going to do this, bitches.
Yep. And in the comments, we already have veteran people gone. So there's already a first vet out. but I'm going to start from the beginning. In tribute to Johnny, who can't make it today. Of course, he can't make it to the day where Devin gives the previously on the challenge, is it your pizza or mine? And he's just holding 2 pizzas in his hand, smirking. I was like, oh, that was good.
Yeah, had Johnny been here, we would have been talking about that for 5 minutes. He would have ate it up. He would have loved it. I think Devin's hilarious. So anytime that he's opening up the episode, it's great.
Yeah, absolutely. And so we sort of go back in rehashing of what happened. So Berna had CT stolen from her after Emmy promised she would not do that. So Berna's obviously blindsided, pissed off. And she's talking to, I think it's Big T and Priscilla, saying like, Emmy doesn't realize what she truly did. Like, she's just a number for that group and they're just going to use her. But they don't expect to win with her, is like what she's essentially saying. So she's like, why betray someone that you're calling a sister just so that you can have Uncle CT?
So my question for you is, does Berna know what the title of the season is called?
I don't think it matters to her what she thinks or what the title of the season. Like, there's people in all shows that go on these that, despite what the show is supposed to, they come in with this, like, especially rookie players come in with this idea of being who they are back home. So they wouldn't do something in a game for $1 million that they wouldn't do in real life. And Berna, I think, has just that upbringing where she's that, in her mind, she will be straight up front with you and be blunt and like just be honest about it. Like, she wouldn't try to go behind your back to do this. And she unfortunately tried to put everyone else on the same level in a game where people are going to be dirty.
I mean, that's fine, but you have to know she can't blame other people for playing the game and lying to your face. That's the name of the game.
Well, she can.
She can, but at the end of the day, Emmy's doing what she thinks is best for Emmy's game, not what's best for Berna's game.
Yes, but like, Berna can be upset. Like, it's completely not like she had a good partner in her mind. She didn't really realize the room of CT feeling that Berna screwed up. And I'm going to say it here. So we're going to just talk about the Berna screwing up thing, because they've been saying it for multiple episodes, but really the only thing we've been seeing is Berna versus Amber, mm-hmm. or like Berna not liking Amber. And I feel like the only reason why CT has a problem with that is because Amber is attached to another veteran, and not just another veteran, but Devin, who seems to be tighter to CT at the moment. The preview shows otherwise, but at the moment, they're tighter. So I feel like if Amber was partnered with a rookie, they wouldn't care as much.
I agree with you on that. I think if she was with a rookie, she'd be more disposable to them. But since she is, you know, part of the entire alliance and all of that, they think that you don't want to make the first shot. But now the first shot is going to happen because they ultimately have to consider who's going to be the best person for their game to put in. And now that you're not just throwing all these rookies in, you have to factor in which bet's going to need to go in first that's going to benefit your game. And now we're going to see what is the true alliance, who's the true group that's running the house, who's the true group that's working together. Yes, it matters who ends up winning the daily challenge, but from there you're going to see who's actually in control this season.
Right. And I am going to just pull this up, even though, because we're talking about Berna, Christina brings up a good point. She says, I think she can be upset about losing CT, but she said Amber kept going on about being blindsided. Now Berna has been doing the same. Excellent point. It is true that people tend to be more frustrated at stuff that also subliminally is stuff that you do.
Mm-hmm.
So like, I could be very agitated if someone overtalks over me, but that's because intrinsically I figured out it was because growing up I would also talk over people, so I would get upset about it because that's what I want to be doing, or I want that attention. So maybe that's something there, but we'll go later on this podcast more about the Berna versus Amber thing, because I do have some opinions there. But yeah, so Berna's blindsided, Nelson feels bad, we get that line again, there's only so much I can do for you, Berna, there's only so much as just your rookie team, you have to win or you're going in.
Which makes sense. I mean, Nelson can't stick his neck out on the line for Berna in that instant because Berna's paired up with Huey. And had Nelson tried to push or maneuver something, then people are going to start to question, all right, where's your true allegiance stand? Is it with us or is it with Berna?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so we see Nelson end up going up to Emmy, though, and he sort of confronts her about it because, like, he's trying to do Berna's out and try to mend that fence and be like, okay, why'd you betray her if you've been calling her your sister and everything? And Emmy's like, oh, I never did that. Like, she's saying both things, which is constantly throughout this episode, where she's like, I never meant to hurt. She's evil. I think of her as sister. You don't know the evil things she will do, Nelson. I'm like, What's she seeing that we aren't? Because like, Berna just seems to, she exists, she complains a little bit, and then she performs.
I was fine with the conversation between Nelson and Emmy, because what I'll say about Emmy, she is such a wild card that I think some of the stuff she says in her mind, she might track back and say, what I said made absolutely no sense, but I'm just going to roll with it because I already said it.
Oh, I agree. But I like Devin here quickly squashing the conversation and be like, well, Nelson, do you want to know who Berna voted for? Me. Because I'm attached to Amber. Like, this is a problem, Nelson. And I think that that's a good point. Like, Devin and Amber both have the same mindset. Like, if you go for me, I'm coming for you. But I feel like they do it in two very different ways. Devin's calculated. Amber, it's like, almost, it feels, and she's portraying it as such, all personal. It's not game. It's like, oh, you put my name in a game. Now it's personal. I'm like,
Amber's been a real loose cannon this season. We didn't see her like this the last season, but this season she just has beef with a lot of people, it seems like. And you even hear Amanda in a confessional when they're in the deliberations saying, I don't really like Berna that much, but preach, girl, because we feel the same way about Amber.
Well, yeah, and it's sort of confirms what was said multiple weeks ago when Fessy put Amber in. A lot of the people came out and said, yeah, Fessy had all the veterans backing to put Amber in. So there's obviously something there. And I feel like now the show is trying to highlight more why. And I think it's just as simple as they're annoyed with her. So she must be constantly not only talking about being blindsided, but like, constantly just talking about last season, and everyone's just like, girl, last season already happened. Congratulations, you won. Here's your flowers, here's your money. This ain't double agents. This is a new season. Stop talking about last season.
Well, you even hear Casey bring it up. Like, Casey's like, who in the fuck actually cares? We're doing this season. This is now. No one cares what you did last time. It's all about making a statement and what you can do this time. And I'm confused a little bit with Amber, only because she comes across to me as someone that'd be extremely self-aware and someone that couldn't read the room, but she's reading the room very incorrectly currently.
Because she takes things personally. Like, I don't think she's looking at it in a game sense. She's looking at it as, who am I friends with? Who am I not friends with? Or who has my name in their mouth? Because now I have to hate them with all of my fury. And I understand a little more now why people are like gunning after as the last season winner. I would also be gunning after the last season winner if all they're doing is talking about the last season, which they won.
Well, here's the deal. CT is doing what CT does best and just talking to the people that he needs to talk to, laying low, not creating waves. And Amber's doing the exact opposite of what he's doing. And that's why people are going after her and not necessarily him at the current moment.
Right. And we'll talk about Amber more later. But essentially, Amber's just like, yeah, I want Berna out. This is my sole mission in life now, is I want Berna out. Pool time. as they were saying, free the nipple. Free the nipple. Tori, Big T, and Bettina all semi-skinny dip. Emmanuel's digging it.
Of course he is. I'm here. I am all about people living their best life, being free, being wild, whatever they want to do. That is their choice. They were into it. Emmanuel was really into it. He was like, yeah, this is great. I'm enjoying myself.
Yeah, I'm not a big fan of the Emmanuel Tori relationship. Like, good for them if they do it. If they do anything, I think they will at some point, because we saw previews with them at least dancing in the club together and making out. But Tori says, like, essentially, like, she finds Emmanuel interesting. He's a tatted Dracula and checks all the boxes. And in parentheses for me, I went, looks exactly like Jordan.
Oh, man. Whenever someone brings up they check all the boxes, I gotta be honest and real. No one ever checks all the boxes. There's always something wrong with somebody. And I don't think this relationship's gonna work. I don't think it's gonna last. We don't even know what the relationship even is. I think they just talk about each other and we haven't actually seen them really with each other in a moment.
Right. But yeah, I personally am all aboard what Emmanuel's doing. Like, hey, he's a free agent. Do what you want to do. If there's a lot of hot girls that have topless in the pool, yeah, you join it.
And also, all of it is he's a good strategist, in my opinion. I think he is self-aware with what's going on within the game. He's partnered with an amazing partner in Casey. And you know what? If he can get in good with other people, they might not want to get rid of him. Tori is, if she's all into him, she might say, you know what? I might not want to vote him in just because I'm into him. I don't want to see him go. And if you can make those relationships, those bonds with people, they might target someone other than yourself, even though you could be a major threat to their game.
Right, and him being partnered with a strong vet is probably also helpful, even though you know there's veteran guys eyeing him right now and wanting to get that pair separated. Without it being said, you just know. This leads to a weird montage of Jeremiah running around the campus, seeing people paired up and going, I see a lot of teams are good at running and swimming, and he needs to win some missions. I love Big T, but I need a new partner. I'm like, well, first off, Big T is one of the best swimmers on the cast. So you already got that. And we'll talk about you, Jeremiah, when it comes to winning missions and all that stuff, because like, it's on you, bud.
Yeah,
it's not me. It's you.
I will say, is Big T the best part in the world, like, you know, physicality-wise? Absolutely not. But Big T does bring a lot to the table. As you just mentioned, she is one of the strongest swimmers. And there's been a lot of instances where they've had swimming legs, and she delivers each and every time with what she needs to do. We see it in this mission. I think it came down to kind of a strategy component on them where she went to go and get the key. That's probably not what she should have been doing. He should have been going and doing that. So I kind of blamed him. What?
And like, yeah, he should have known that. When you see all three other guys in your heat going out to grab it, and you also see it's a huge ass yacht, and you're all the guys that are tall are also at least having the semi climb. Yes, let me send the shortest girl on the show to go grab the key that's placed high.
Exactly. And that's why I say it's all about strategy, and they didn't have the right strategy with that. And that also comes down to him. So it's a partnership in that situation. Mm-hmm. Whether she should just it, I'm going to get the key. He should have said, you know what? I think I should go get the key. So it all does come down to both of them not working together as a team to figure that out.
You know what? I got to say something here about Jeremiah. I've been thinking about it. It really came across this episode for me. Well, first off, I think he's one of the rookies who doesn't get called back. I think he's been too vanilla for them. He's barely getting any confessionals unless he's actively involved in the episode. And is it just me, or is he Walmart Corey?
Oh my gosh.
This is a serious question.
Man, you're really digging on deep with the Walmart there. But I will say, I think what Jeremiah lacks is the way he comes across on screen. He doesn't have the personality, which you're alluding to by comparing it to Walmart. He can't deliver in a confessional the way that Corey can. What Jeremiah says isn't funny, but if Corey said it in a different way, it would be funny because it's coming from Corey.
Yeah, because like they have similarities from the rookie season. They hook up with a veteran. They have their like little swagger talk about them in their eliminations, like the like all that stuff. Like his mannerisms are similar to Corey's. Like I literally just think he's like, if Corey is like Coke, like he's Coke Light. Like he's not what you want. It's not what you ordered. They were like, oh, we're fresh out of Coke. Like, here's a Pepsi. I didn't want a Pepsi. I wanted a Coke, but okay. They made me settle for this. And guess what? Next time I'm here, I'm not going to get a fucking Pepsi.
I like you coming out with the hot take saying that Jeremiah won't return for a future season, because I do agree with you. He just is very bland. He hasn't brought us much as an audience. But what I will say is he did just win an elimination. And so you never know. People can come out like Priscilla came out. Yeah, we were getting little snippets of her here and there. Jeremiah might surprise us and be able to deliver us something in the back half of the season. We don't know, but as of this moment, I don't think he's coming back either.
I think he's out soon. Because okay. Like, let's think about it. Like he's from Love Island. I think Priscilla was from Love Island. If I had to bring one of them back, I'm bringing Priscilla 10 times out of 10.
100%.
Like even like someone as like Bettina, who doesn't get a lot. But, like, when you get past her just doing the laugh at it, like, there's parts of her that I'm like, yeah, I could see her being on future seasons if they allow her to be on camera. Like, they hid a lot of what she was doing. Like, I understand she's not really promoting the show either, so there's the chance she's not going to come back. But, like, there's parts of her that I like. There's nothing from Jeremiah that I'm like, I need to see him back. Like, there's out of the guy rookies. Huey, I think, is a callback. Corey Lay has a chance to be a callback. Logan, I don't think it's going to be a callback. Ed is a callback. Like I feel like there's – you could even – like Kels, he was the second rookie guy out. I think he's a callback if they want to. Like there's so many rookies that have showed out this season and have made statements. He has it.
No, you're
absolutely hooking up, like he's hooking up with the previous winner of the show, and all you're getting out of that storyline is a 2-second clip of them like peck kissing, not making out, just like little peck kissing, and that's it. Like there's something wrong here, and it's not the viewer's interpretation.
Do you think that he was doing that to maybe like say, all right, I hooked up with the winner of last season, you got to bring me back for a future
one? No, I think they were both attracted to each other. I think it was like genuine attractiveness, like, oh, we're two attractive people. Let's, like, you know, we're both single. Let's, you know, do shit. But yeah, that's my thoughts there on Jeremiah as a whole.
Well, coming in with the hot take, as I've said in a previous podcast, I think it was last year, that Fessy will never win the challenge. So we're going to see if I'm right.
Yeah, I think my hot take is more likely than yours.
I think my hot take's a little bit more fun, though, so I'll say that.
Yeah, but mine's realistic.
There you go. But agree to disagree.
But talking about Priscilla and Bettina, we do get that conversation with both of them. Like, both of them understand the situation they're in. They both are, like, a little scared of going in, but they understand that, like, we played ourselves into this corner by not all gathering together. So if it's my time, it's my time. But once, if I go down and I win, I'm going to do what I can to try to shake up this veteran alliance. We need to see it crumble.
As they should. They need to do what's best for themselves in order to get them further. I think people were just playing scared at the beginning because they really didn't see exactly what was happening. The rookies didn't at the beginning of the season. What they should have done and what they should have realized is, all right, we need to break up these vets from each other and make sure that we're staying in this house and actually come together. But the fact that they didn't do it, I mean, it's the saying that you always say, too little, too late. I mean, yeah, something's going to come of this just 1 week sooner than it would have, just 1 week sooner when it could have happened 3-4 weeks sooner.
Yeah, absolutely. You're like spot on there. So there's not much I can add to that. But we once again get Amber talking to Josh saying, like, I need to get Berna. And guess what? Mission activated. It's time for the mission. And guess what? Go figure. It's about detonating a bomb.
Shocker.
I hate this. I hate bombs. They have made me lose interest of bombs and explosions. Like, you don't... A spy? I don't think the producers understand what it means to be a spy. Like, there's so many more things you need to do other than detonate a bomb. Like, I would love a situation where they did a challenge where it's like, you have to be quiet. Like, you have to be, like, sneaky. Like, you're on a tightrope or something, and there's, like, fake lasers around that you can't hit the sensors of. And you have to get through it with a quick assignment. Something like that where you have to be sneaky and light on your feet and agile. This is just go grab wiring and then complete the wiring, which is just a puzzle. And then you detonate the bomb, which is just a water tank.
Well, you heard it here first, folks. Alex does not agree with the current challenges of the season where they have to bomb out.
No, this gimmick needs to die. It needs to die in a hole, and then you shoot it in that hole with a shotgun several times to ensure that it is dead.
Now,
we need a new theme.
This is my question. Had they not done the agents form last season, would you have felt more so okay with it if it was just on this season?
It's hard for me to say because I know that we had it last season. And it's impossible for me to not think of that.
Yeah,
but I just find it too corny. And I just want it to be that they are challengers. They are not agents. This isn't a mission. You're there to win a fucking $1 million and backstab and screw over people and hook up while you're doing it. Like, they're making a simple show, not simple, with their themes. We just need a regular theme. But
or no theme.
We'll deal with it.
Or no theme. I would be fine with a season with no theme and just see what happens.
Yeah, what is it? What, we have to wait a couple of seasons for that. We're only on, what is it, 37?
Yeah.
We need to get to 41 so that we can drop the 4, but keep the 1.
Keep the 1. Yeah.
Yeah.
There's that Survivor plug right there.
Yep. So it was called Dive Bomb because everything has to have bomb in it. So you start off with half of your wiring that's in a case. You and your partner have to use these badass water jets to retrieve the other wiring puzzle pieces. And then one person has to haul ass to his sweet ass yacht, because who doesn't like a good yacht, right? Right. They pause explaining the challenge just to admire the yacht. And that part I loved. I was just like, okay, that's TJ just flexing on him.
Yeah, TJ is great. Anything that he can add to the table to make us all laugh is amazing. TJ, if he was not the host, this show wouldn't be what it is.
No, not at all. But yeah, so you have to grab the key that's hanging off of the yacht, come back, unlock the box, complete your puzzle pieces together on the board, and you ask for a check. If you're right, the water bomb detonates, and you're the fastest person in your heat. There are three heats through random draw. Overall, what do you think of the challenge itself?
I actually really didn't mind it. I think it's a cool concept. I would have really loved to participate in this type of challenge because to me, it was easy to follow as a viewer. I think some challenges that we see, we just don't really know necessarily what's happening because there's too much to watch at once. I liked the heat. We were able to see who was in the heat. They showed us everyone's name. We saw them all go out. You could see who was in the lead, who was behind, who was sucking, who was doing well. I think this one was a good one to watch.
Yeah. So first heat winners were Amber and Devin. They competed against Kyle and Amanda, Tori and Ed, Jeremiah and Big T. Everyone, for the most part, was doing well in the beginning, except for Jeremiah, who like didn't understand the concept of a water jet. And you even have Logan, who doesn't speak at all ever since he won his elimination. Say, like, Jeremiah's from Mississippi. I heard that they have a river there. He should practice. He's so bad.
And that goes back to saying, like, Jeremiah's wanting to, get a better partner. But ultimately, he's the one that, messed this up, too. It wasn't just Big T going out to get the key and couldn't climb the rope. It's, as we said, them poorly strategizing it. And he also couldn't figure out how to get himself out to retrieve the puzzle pieces either. So it falls on both of them, not just her.
Nope. But I'll put more to blame on Jeremiah because I like Big T more. Simple as that.
I'm fine with that, but I'm just saying he can't just blame her because he definitely sucked.
Right. So really in this heat, it was really a neck and neck between Devin and Amber and Ed and Tori. I was sort of surprised. It didn't really feel like Ed took the lead on the puzzle. He sort of let Tori take the lead, who's bad at puzzles. And we saw Ed win a puzzle elimination. Like, yes, it was a map of the world. It's different than trying to figure out where all the wires connect. But, like, if I'm Ed, I'm like, Tori, let, this is my thing. I'm an engineering major.
I think that's a little bit of the downside to Ed. He doesn't seem like the type of person that's going to speak up to his partner and say, listen, you step aside, let me do this because you clearly are not going to be able to solve this puzzle. Get out of my way, let me do it. Whereas someone like Devin knows he's good at these things and he's going to say, I'm doing this, don't help me. If I need your help, I'll ask you.
Right. And Amber just lets Devin do his thing. They win that heat. You're going to find a common theme here. The team that has the best puzzle person in that heat is winning each time. So second heat, the run is short. It's Ashley and Josh, Priscilla and Nelson, Huey and Berna. Huey and Berna get their stuff first, but it's Ashley who beats all these dummies, or else she would have to bury herself under a rock. Her and Josh win heat two.
Or as she would say, idiots. So she would have been very embarrassed if she would have lost to that crew of people. I mean, I got to give Ashley credit. She is brilliant at these puzzles. She gets through them really, really quickly. She knows her strength, and it's definitely being able to get puzzles done as quickly as possible.
Yeah, absolutely. But there is no one, sorry, Ashley, better at a puzzle than Uncle CT. CT and Emmy clearly beat Corey and Bettina, Nani and Logan, and Emmanuel and Casey. Was interesting seeing Bettina try to take control of the puzzle because I loved that confessional of her. She's like, I heard the rumors about Corey's horrible puzzle skills, and they're true. And Corey just goes to the confessional like, hey, I own up to it. I'm shit at puzzles. I may help with one or two pieces, but this is all on you.
I don't think he helped at all with one or two pieces. He stood there and looked extremely lost, and Bettina tried her best, but I think she knew that she had no chance in hell to win it, so she was at least trying to move pieces around, acting like she was actually making progress.
But she was close. I think they only had three puzzle pieces that were incorrect.
They
asked for a check first and they read it out the ones that were wrong and it looked like it was only like three. Like, so they had most of them right, but they had a few that were just very wrong.
Wasn't that when TJ said not even close, though?
He said not even close, but they highlighted the ones that were wrong. They didn't show That's half true. The board was wrong. They only showed, like, a few. But to TJ, maybe that means you're very off.
Yeah, just
it's either you have it exactly right or you're very off, even if it's just like two pieces. But CT does his thing. Emmy just it's like, I'm going to put everything out for him, put it in a nice little pile for him to see, and I'm going to step back and let him do his thing.
Well, that's her being a good partner. She knows her role. Yes. She knows that she's not the puzzle person. And that is a thing in a partnership. Some people like to be at the top. Say, I can do everything. I can do this. I can do that. And you know what? Emmy says to herself, I can step back, let CT do CT's thing to win us the challenge versus me trying to get in there and help him because he doesn't want my help anyway.
Right. I think she's a good partner because it's CT. Like, I don't think she does the same thing for other partners. But CT, just because of the veteran that he is able to calm her nerves and just keep it moving forward. But we see CT and Emmy are the agency. Like, TJ makes a point of saying, like, Emmy, your gamble really paid off. You went down in elimination, got a new partner, and now you're in control. You're safe. And, like, CT's even, like, just propping her up, like, hey, no crying here. Just, like, you're good. You're good. No emotional breakdown.
But that's Inferno, just Emmy. She can't hide her emotion. That's just the way that she feels. She gets super excited or she gets super sad about something and all of her emotions just come out, which I think makes good television. You want to see a character like that on the show. She's not boring. She never has been boring. And I think she's going to be a staple for coming back and coming back each and every season now.
Yeah. And before we go to break, I do want to bring this comment up because we don't talk about them really that much. Sam asks, is it weird how Amanda and Kyle have been able to go under the radar being a vet pair? And I'm going to say no, because they are a vet pair. I don't think people are truly looking at them, and they've been sort of middle of the road. So even the rookies who are trying to go for people, they're trying to go for people that they have been seeing consistently getting top spots or near top spots. So I think Amanda and Kyle have been doing an effective job of, like, being close. They want to win, but, like, if they don't win, it's not the end-all be-all for them.
My take on Amanda and Kyle is I think they're actually sitting in a pretty good spot because, as you just said, they haven't done amazing, but they haven't been piss poor that people are like, what the fuck are they doing? So I think going into the next half of the season, they're going to be sitting in a good spot if they're still partnered up with each other because people aren't going to be targeting them. They're not the huge threats on the season. There's other people to go after. And I think they might coast their way to the end if they are able to stay with each other. Or my only thing that concerns me is if Kyle gets into it with somebody, just if they go after someone that's close within his alliance and then he has the altercation with someone, not getting kicked out or anything. But Kyle can be vocal. Kyle likes to say his piece. Amanda does the same thing, but she's done a great job this season with hiding in the background and letting other people be in the middle and in the mix. She's doing really well for herself.
Absolutely agree. As Amanda Stan, I'm very happy how well she's performing so far and staying under the radar. But we have our agency. What happens next? We'll talk about it right after these ad breaks.
Lucy Nicotine is a company founded by Caltech scientists and former smokers looking for a better and cleaner nicotine alternative. Finally, tobacco alternatives that don't suck.
Researched and developed for 3 years to be made for people, not patients. Lucy has created a nicotine gum with 4 milligrams of nicotine that comes in 3 flavors, wintergreen, cinnamon, and pomegranate. Lucy also has a lozenge with 4 milligrams of nicotine in cherry ice flavor. Each and every flavor actually tastes great and is convenient and discreet. Products can be enjoyed anywhere, on flights, at work, on the go, or even in the gym.
I am so happy that Lucy is sponsoring us. Ever since they came on board, I have gotten no less than 5 of my friends transitioned over to Lucy and put their cigarettes down. They like the gum. I'm used to seeing the packages all around. This stuff is great, and it's really helping people make much healthier choices. So get on board and join the Lucy movement.
Hey, it's 2021. Get rid of your cigarettes, unplug your vape, throw out your dip, and get some Lucy nicotine gum or lozenges. This is the real deal. A subscription to Lucy comes directly to your door each month. It's so simple that you don't even have to leave your house because Lucy has delivery down.
Reality NSFW listeners, go to lucy.co and use promo code SURVIVOR to get 20% off all products, including gum or lozenges. That's lucy.co and use promo code SURVIVOR at checkout. Also, I have to give this disclaimer. Warning, this product contains nicotine derived from tobacco. Nicotine is an addictive chemical. That's lucy.co and be sure to use that promo code Survivor.
This episode of Reality NSFW is sponsored by Blue Chew. Say it with us, Blue Chew. Blue Chew is making waves and bringing more confidence to the bedroom by offering chewable tablets that can help men get stronger and longer lasting erections. That's right, we're giving away super hard dicks.
Blue Chew is a unique online service that delivers the same active ingredients as Viagra and Cialis, but in chewable form and at a fraction of the cost. Blue Chew's tablets help men achieve harder, stronger erections to combat all forms of ED.
Blue Chew is an online prescription service, so no visits to the doctor offices, no awkward conversations, and no waiting in line at the pharmacy. And it ships right to your door in a discreet package. The process is simple. Sign up at BlueChew.com, consult with one of their licensed medical providers, and once you're approved, you'll receive your prescription within days. And the best part, it's all done online.
BlueChew's licensed medical providers work with you to find the right ingredient and strength for your prescription. Don't like swallowing pills? No problem here. BlueChew's Sildenafil and Tadalafil tablets are chewable. Blue Chew's tablets are made in the USA and they prepare and ship direct, so it's cheaper than a pharmacy.
Hey, if you're looking to give that immunity idol to someone or you don't want to be voted out of a crater, don't worry. Blue Chew's got you covered. So if you could benefit from extra confidence when it's time to perform, visit BlueChew.com for more details and important safety information.
And we've got a special deal for our listeners. Try Blue Chew free when you use promo code SURVIVOR at checkout. Just pay $5 shipping. That's Blue Chew, BlueChew.com, promo code SURVIVOR to receive your first month free. And we thank Blue Chew for sponsoring the podcast.
Yeah, and we're back. So it's time to go to the club. Everyone's tired. They don't want to talk much. So they're going to go to the club to talk and to make out. So we see the Jeremiah and Amber kiss a couple times, but that's neither here nor there. So first thing is Berna's just like angry. She doesn't want Emmy to be the reason why she goes home. But Huey, I think, is being a very good partner here. She's like, hey, I will do whatever I can physically do to ensure that we can stay in this game and so that you can get like your revenge. But like, we are here to win this money.
Can we talk about Huey real quick? Only because he's brought so much to the table this entire season. I just think he was just a class act with everything that he did. He had his ups and downs moments, but he's ultimately there for his people. He actually genuinely cares, and that came out where he was supporting Berna. I don't really necessarily know what their relationship was throughout the entire season, but he actually was a good partner. He might not have been the best physically or anything, but he was supportive.
Right. No, I agree. Like, he's a loyal dude, and like a loyal to the soil type of dude. And it was unfortunate that it was just the fact that he was a rookie, really, that it just became an easy target. I think he comes back.
I
think he has enough personality. He's not horrible at the competitions. He does need to figure out how to make his ass smaller. but...
I mean, most of the time it's great to have a big ass, but not for that elimination.
Yeah, not if you're in the challenge. You sort of want a more toned, smaller one. Especially for this elimination. But we then see Jeremiah talking again with Priscilla, like going over like, hey, I need to go down. Like, I love Big T as a person, but I need to have a different partner if I want to try to win missions. And I get it, but I would love being partners with Big T, even if it meant I wasn't in power.
I 100% get it as well, but also I love how he says, I need to go down. Was it even a question that you were going down? You were going to go down anyway.
I mean, yeah, he's the only, well, they technically could put down Emmanuel or someone else, but really it was always going to be Jeremiah.
100%. I just love when they don't realize that, like, hey, I want to go in because I think it's my time to show myself, show the people what I have and everything. You were going in regardless. You don't need to make that speech. Just be like, yep, I'm going in. All right. See ya, bitches down there.
Yeah. But then the craziest shit of it all, Amber, who says she's done with Big Brother. She said, fuck Big Brother when she won her last elimination. She said, fuck Big Brother. And I said that shit. Brings back Josh and Casey. It's like, I'm willing to trust you guys again. I want to go in to ensure Berna goes home and make sure that Jeremiah stays. And even Casey and Josh, especially Casey, who's like, wants Amber gone. She's even saying, like, Amber, just sleep on it. Because she goes in the confessions like, Amber, you're all fucking talk. Like, you're going to wake up the next morning and be like, no, I don't want to do this. And then we're going to be like, well, why did you bring it up then?
Do you think a part of the factor was them drinking, them being at the club? And we don't know how much they drank, obviously, or anything. But I think you just think a different type of way. I think Amber is like, I'm just going to go down, beat this girl, kick her ass, make sure that she's gone because I want to be the one to do it. But she's not thinking realistically here. That is not smart because then what if you lose? Like, that doesn't help your game at all. You go home and then Berna's still in the house. Berna gets the best of you. So why even put yourself in that position at all? And it's not a good look for her saying, I do want to potentially go down, because light bulb in a different season, if it wasn't, you know, rookies versus vets, someone can just say, all right, I guess she wants to go down. Easy enough for me. I'm going to send her on her way.
Also, it's just, that's what's going to happen anyway. Like, once they start attacking, they're not going to attack the veterans that they care about. They're going to attack Amber. So, like, No, they're going to attack Amber. Any girl competitor there is attacking Amber because she's a former winner and because they're annoyed by her and don't like her. They at least like Ashley. So that's why Ashley will last longer than Amber.
Oh, yeah, but you're targeting Amber before Ashley because Ashley is within pretty much every alliance, sort of. She has her friends in the house, of course. But Ashley's someone that people want to talk to. Amber is someone that no one wants to associate with at the current moment.
Absolutely. And so, like, you're right on the money. I do believe the alcohol enhanced it. But alcohol does not create lies. It creates truths. Yep. So it enhances the truths that you are thinking within. But it just gives you not the strength, but the stupidity to actually say it out loud and be behind it because you're now saying it out loud.
Yeah. Christina agrees with us. Alcohol makes everyone passionate about stupid ideas.
Yep. But I think it's also just a little bit of cockiness, and that's not a bad thing. So I'm not saying that in a negative sense to Amber, but I mean, if you go by her portfolio, she's been down to elimination 3 times. She has 3 wins. She has a season win under her belt. So, like, she may be just, like, feeling herself a little bit. Like, I think it doesn't matter. I can go down there, and as long as I have a good partner, and I think Jeremiah would be a good partner with me, because guess what? We are hooking up, so we're going to have chemistry. We should be able to win. And then I'll just be back. Like, she's not thinking, oh, I could go home. She's thinking, oh, put me in to ensure that Berna goes out.
And that's why she was thinking incorrectly. You always have to have in the back of your mind, as much as you want to own it and be like that person that thinks you're going to win and beat everyone else, you have to know that it might be an elimination that is not suited to you and can be suited to the other person. So it all depends on what goes down in the lair. And I think she was just failing to realize that. She's just thinking in the now. She wasn't thinking for later on.
Right. So let's move forward to the nominations. Like, so obviously everyone's like, yeah, Huey, Berna, you're going in. But Berna wants to say her piece. So she wanted to clarify she wasn't hurt by Emmy picking CT. She gets it. It's a game. What she was hurt by was because Emmy said to her face when she didn't need to that she would not take CT if she were to go down and win an elimination, but did it anyway. She lied to her face, and she doesn't respect people who lie to her face. And I think that's fair. Like, all's fair in a game. So like, you can say like it's all fair that Emmy took her, but it's also all fair for Berna to be like, I'm pissed at you and I'm going to gun for you now because you lied to my face.
Absolutely. Berna has every single right to explain why she's upset at Emmy. And I actually think that they kind of went away from that deliberation. Her and Emmy sort of okay with each other. They didn't seem to have too much of a conflict afterwards. I think it's not going to ever be what it was, but I don't think there's like a huge major issue as much as it is between Amber and Berna. I think Amber and Berna are more against each other than Emmy and Berna are.
Right. But I mean, like, later on in the episode, Emmy goes, she's evil.
I get that, but that's also an Emmy one-liner.
But also, Emmy's, like, saying she's evil because Berna wants her partner back. I'm like, there's nothing Berna's actually doing that's evil. So right, that's so the part that I find funny. But it's just Emmy being Emmy.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. It's Emmy being Emmy, but I'm saying I think the real huge beef is ultimately between Amber and Berna. I think, yeah, there's absolutely beef between Berna and Emmy, but if we're doing another rival season, you're going to have Amber and Berna paired up, not Berna and Emmy paired up.
Yeah. So we then go from there. Like, I'm not going to do the Emmy talking about why you always blame me then, because that's just irrelevant at this point. Amber then, like, tries to confront Berna at this time because she says this is where I decide to talk, but then later on says I'm not gonna talk. So I'm like, okay, so you can't choose, pick and choose. If you're gonna say that, you're declaring that you're gonna talk, so you better damn speak, Amber. But Berna says, yes, I voted for you, Amber. I wasn't going to vote for my friend Esther. I think y'all can understand that. And you know what, Amber, I just don't like you, and you know it is what it is. And Amber is just like offended that someone doesn't like her. So Amber goes off, and like, but like when she's going off, she's so erratic with what she's trying to say that it's just like word salad. It's just like she's just saying stuff without any like direction. She brings up Nelson for whatever reason, and Nelson's like, yo, like you need to calm yourself. And Amber goes like, no, you calm yourself. And Nelson's like talking very calmly while she's being so erratic.
She's been like that all season now. She's been like that all season.
I know, but I'm like, it's just crazy.
I don't know. I think that win last season got to her head and she thinks she's like some hot shit right now. What she did last season, great. You won as a rookie and everything, amazing. But come in, be a little bit humble. I think she needs to be humbled, honestly.
Honestly, I'm fine with it though, because I'd rather have this version of Amber than Amber of last season, who barely got an edit and which is bland. Like, she was bland and then was just like, oh, I have a fire under me. Oh, I have CT now. Oh, I won. Like, at least now, like, it's okay to not like the character. Like, people, I think viewers have this weird thing of being like, oh, you have to like them or they're horrible and they should never be on our screen. Like, Amber's figuring out a role here. Like, she may not be likable. That's fine. But, like, it's making her at least decent TV. So I'm okay with it. But
she's no longer in the innocent one. She's definitely, you know, gonna be a villain, I think, for future seasons.
Right. And context of villain is subjective to the viewer, but I agree with you. However, this is where Priscilla gets to speak up, and she's just like, hey, you know, like, it doesn't hurt me saying this because y'all are thinking of it anyway. Obviously, you are thinking you want to put myself or Bettina in. I personally don't want to go, but I just want to put it out there because I think it's just public knowledge. Amber, did you say that you wanted to go in? And then suddenly Amber, who's all loud and boisterous, just goes, like, she sort of like scoffs at it. Like, I'm not going to answer that here.
And Priscilla, I love that she brought it up because she needed to. Whether she already knew that she was going to, her and Bettina were going to go in no matter what at that moment, but she still brings it up because she's getting other people thinking in different directions. And then Amber, in that instance, can't own it anymore because she doesn't want to go in anymore. She doesn't want to go against Berna at that point. And so Amber tries to play, I'm going to be quiet now. I'm not going to say anything. Girl, it's already out there.
Yep. So I'm going to skip the Jeremiah of it all because it's stupid. But yeah, like, so Priscilla speaks up. I love it. Stan Priscilla now. Big fan mm-hmm. of her. Also just gorgeous. She might actually be like the most like beautiful girl on this season currently. Like how she looks in her confessionals, like she's glammed up.
Yeah, I can't pick and choose really because this cast is a very fire cast in terms of all of them. I think they're all great. So, you know, she might be at the top of your list, but for me, I think everyone looks fabulous.
Oh, yeah. No, I just wanted to highlight it. But so Tori also highlights something, but it's really stupid of her. She like just really puts it out there like, well, if you guys win, you guys should make another rookie pair. Like, she's like, you better do it. And then, like, Ashley and some of the other ones start speaking up. But mainly it's Ashley just like, you better make a rookie pair. Because if you don't, then the vet has to go down. But we're going to come after you. But in my mind, if you're a rookie, you're in Priscilla's boot. Like, so I'm going to be getting after anyway. Mm-hmm. And guess what? You guys have been treating us like we're beneath you. Time for you guys to hit the sand.
I think the better approach would have been for the vets to, in that moment, actually not say anything. I think Tori opened the floodgates with that, and then Ashley got involved. I feel as though, had they not said anything, then you wouldn't have had Priscilla coming at you that way that she did. Would she have still probably made that move? Yes. But now, like, Priscilla has a fire under her ass. She's like, all right, I'm going to go in, win this, come back, stir the pot, make sure that all of you guys know that I'm here to play on this season.
Right. I think this is the episode Priscilla needed in order to be asked back.
Yep.
But yeah, so, and she says, I really don't like how Ashley phrased that. She's basically threatening us, and I don't like being threatened. So I'm going to remember that. And yeah.
Well, and we know too, like Ashley is very much so a firecracker and everything, but she also can be calculated. And so that's why I'm surprised that she actually would have said something there and put a target on her back by saying it. I think she really just needed to stay quiet because she was so under the radar at that moment. People were really not thinking of her or thinking of coming after her, because I think Ashley was playing a solid game up until that spot, because now you have an enemy within Priscilla. If she would have stayed quiet, then Priscilla's targeting her emotions more so towards Tori.
Right. Like, Tori gets the advantage of being the first to speak and not the last. Mm-hmm. Like, obviously, Tori has to be doing something good in this game just in terms of having people who like her around her to secure her spot for later in the game, because like no one's really bringing her up. People are stealing her, so they see her as like a good player. But she makes these errors that are just like so unnecessary that it's like hard for me to like rank her high as like an overall challenge player, not a competitor, but as a player. Because I'm just like, there's so much of the political game I just don't think she grasps. Like, she has a good social game, and she's at least an average to above average competitor, at least physically. Like, we see the workout video, she's a stud. Like, she mm-hmm. she will win most like headbangers, I would believe, on any given season. But she makes these little mental errors that I just always think at some point is going to come back to haunt her. Maybe it doesn't, and like it easily couldn't. But it's like, those are little things that just I put in the back of my mind when I'm like, and analyzing her, I'm just like, why? You didn't need to do this. You could have had someone else do it.
Well, and I think she does it for an entertainment point as well. And if you look at someone such as Casey, Casey's very good at playing the political game. Casey's very physical. Casey knows when to speak and when not to speak, when to listen to others and allow them to talk, which is why I think Casey's able to maneuver herself so well. Yes, she always has the big brother people that have her back, but no one has anything bad to ever say about Casey, because Casey is just that good with getting in with people, getting them to trust her, whether they're on her side or not, they just like her.
Yeah. But yeah, so essentially that, like, we wrap this up. Huey and Bernard are obviously the compromised agents. We really don't get much in between. Priscilla's just ready for war. It's time for the lair. Emmy and CT have to make their choices. They put down Jeremiah because, like, obvious person to throw down there. And ultimately, they decide to put down Priscilla because CT is saying, like, hey, I ain't dumb. Like, I want to play under the radar. I'm here to play ball. So I'll keep the truce going. I'm not going to be the one who actively puts a veteran in first.
Why do you think they chose Priscilla over Bettina?
Maybe because she spoke up. Maybe that it could be just as simple as that. Like, I know we're seeing that people do like Bettina in the house. Like, I feel like they definitely like Priscilla too, but it's just like she's a rookie. But I feel like there's been under-edited what Bettina's social game, or just like how people feel about her in the house. Because it seems like a lot of people just really enjoy her. Mm-hmm. We don't get those same like things on like Twitter or anything about Priscilla, so I don't know. I feel like they're both sweet girls, and they maybe it just was like, oh, we're just gonna put Priscilla down.
Because I think they put Priscilla down because I think, in my opinion, Priscilla is a stronger competitor in terms of Bettina, and they wanted to see Berna go home, so they said, yeah, I think I'm gonna put the best girl down there to beat Berna.
You know what? You're absolutely right. Like, I think ultimately that is the case, because like we see Bettina's just like while Priscilla is scared to go down, but accepting, like, Bettina is terrified of going down. So it could just ultimately be that. But them not thinking, oh, she won't actually go through it. She's smart enough to not ruin a good thing that the veterans have going. So we're in the lair. It's Huey and Berna versus Jeremiah and Priscilla, and it's race to escape. They have two 30-foot poles that they have to, while they're bound together by their wrists, they have to climb up using each other as support to go up the pole, where there's a giant blade, where then you saw off the rope so that you can free yourselves and then go down the zip line. Fastest team wins. Loser goes home. I think that's a fun elimination.
I do as well. I think most of the eliminations this season have been really intriguing to watch. And this one, we haven't seen something like this before. And I really enjoyed the partnership component to it, because you had to work together to get all the way up the pole. You had to communicate with each other. And so if you had a shit partner or someone that you could not communicate well with, it's a shit show. You're not going to do very well for yourselves. And it was interesting to see how well Jeremiah and Priscilla did work with each other, because they hadn't, you know, we haven't seen them together much this season, so we don't know what their relationship or their dynamic is like.
Before we continue, because we did skip over this part in nominations, Riley says, Emmanuel threatening to drink the blood of whoever steals Casey from him was the best part of the noms. It was funny. It was definitely funny. He's definitely playing into, I'm from Romania, so I'm obviously a vampire. I thought it was funny.
And that's why Emmanuel is great. He is someone that is able to deliver in confessionals. And I do think playing Survivor helps that. A lot of Survivor players know how to articulate what their gameplay is, what they're doing. And you just get better at confessionals each and every single time that you do it, versus someone that does, as we brought up, Love Island. I mean, there's no strategy with that.
Hey, the Love Island people won today. Spoiler alert.
I realized that. But we're talking about confessional based here. We're talking that, yeah, Hey, you can deliver a personality.
Right. So overall, I thought it was a fun challenge. Jeremiah and Priscilla win. It looked like it was going to be more handedly than it ended up being. But like Huey's backside was really the detriment to Berna.
Yeah, his dump truck.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah, his ass too big.
Best way to put it.
Like, hey, some people love a big ass, but I don't think anyone loves a big ass in that style of elimination. Let me tell you that.
Hey, he gave it his best shot. He was still trying and never gave up. And I will say, I actually credit Berna a little bit. She didn't ever lash out at Huey during that elimination. She was still trying to help him, still trying to motivate him to get through it. And I don't think other competitors would have been as patient with Huey in that moment. So I commend Berna for that.
Well, like, she was stern, but I understand what you're saying. But yeah, I think there are two people that production is definitely eyeing, because we had him multiple times say, like, I don't think this is the last time we'll see you, and like, this ends your time on the challenge for now.
Yep, to both of them.
Yeah, so I think there's a good chance we see both in the back, especially because, like, you can set up like rival style pairs with both of them now with this style cast. Really though, like, we're losing all these rookies before we talk about the picks. I understand ratings are low and are all time lows, and part of it is they're going up against Big Brother, they're going up against Survivor. Like, they have too many rookies. The old, like, school people are not coming back as much or really at all, or they're going to do All Stars. But like, people need to fucking grow up. Like, if you're the viewers, like, I'm talking to all of you out there. Like, I love Johnny Bananas and Wes and all the. They can't play forever. They can't, they just can't. Age is real. Father time comes. Life happens. Like, people need to move on with their lives. And all of them had to start out as rookies and build and gain that support and by coming back for other seasons. That's on MTV to bring these rookies back for multiple seasons to gain those stories. Because if we don't have the real world to pull from and we don't have road rules, and we're just going to pull from all these other shows now, that's what has to happen. You can't just do huge cycle of rookies and not bring any of them back anymore. Like, you have to bring them back to rebuild the trust in the audience that you're going to give us value in these characters that you're providing.
Well, I agree, because even look at Bananas. Bananas went home, what, it was first on his season? His first season that he did it, he went home in the first elimination that he was in, comes back and then becomes the staple of the challenge. So you have to give these rookie players that they bring in a chance. Get to know their story. They're going to weed out the ones that are terrible, that suck. But they're going to constantly bring back the ones that deliver on camera, bring something to the viewer. So give these people a chance, because there are some really great rookies on this season that I want to come watch each and every single week and want to see them come back and play on a future season. So it's just giving them a chance. This is a new face of the challenge. We're not going to have all the people that used to be on coming back season after season. Go check out All Stars for that. That's what All Stars is for. We're going to see it there. We're going to see those people there. And then we're going to have, you know, the new rookies on these current seasons, 38, 39, 40 and beyond.
Right. And that's why I hope production, if any of them are listening to this, I doubt they are, but maybe they are. Like, bring people back. Like, don't just be like, oh, out of all the rookies from Double Agents, we're just going to bring Nam back. And then he's gone because of COVID. You know, it's like, it is what it is. Like, I probably shouldn't have even said that. We could be brought down. Who knows? Going crazy now. But we'll move forward here. So we're going to talk about the last part of the episode. Priscilla and Jeremiah, they're not going to stay together, even though they killed that elimination together, because obviously they're a rookie team. It'd be idiotic of them to stick together. Priscilla decides, I'm planting my flag. Ashley, I didn't like how you said it. You came off threatening me. You can say whatever you want. You were threatening me, so I'm going to take your partner. So she takes Josh.
So I'm curious about this move here. I also thought, why did she not maybe consider taking Devin?
I was thinking that it was going to be Devin only because I thought Jeremiah was going to pick Amber. Because I, like, as much as you're saying, like, oh, I need to make a smart move, I was like, he's just going to pick Amber. But he didn't. So he made, like, a smarter move. He read the room, even though he's hooking up with Amber. He's like, yeah, I can see a lot of people don't like her, so let me take someone who has a little bit of a higher standing. He takes Tori.
Yeah.
Which I don't think is a bad move at this point.
It's not a terrible move. And then you end up seeing Ashley and Ed together, which I'm not going to lie, Ashley, that's not terrible for her because Ed's she's just pissed off with what happened because I think Ed's a better partner than Josh is in terms of
I'm turning around on Josh, so it's hard for me to really talk bad on. But what I'm going to say, I think she's more pissed off because she's no longer in a veteran pair.
Right.
I think it's more so now she's vulnerable because she's attached to a rookie. Because if a veteran team wins or has a veteran rookie pair who has influence over their rookie, they're putting in not a veteran pair. Or the house vote won't be a veteran pair still. Like, even the rookies all band together at this point, they don't have the numbers to put in a veteran team. So she would have been safe. But now that she's partnered with Ed, while she shouldn't on paper be in a bad standing, like, having your name out there, even if it's from the opposition, is still damaging.
It is, but Ed's someone that is good to be with because I think he's very likable in the house, and I don't think he would necessarily be someone that people are going to go, all right, we got to target that group, that duo right there. But we'll see what ends up happening. I just don't think it's worst case scenario for Ashley. It's not best case scenario. Heck no, she would have been better off being with another vet, of course. But that's why I was thinking with Priscilla. I was surprised she, you know, didn't go with Devin because I think Devin's really good at puzzles. Right. Josh is actually pretty decent at puzzles. He does well for himself, it seems like. But I just think Devin's the best person to be aligned with currently with what we're somewhat seeing because he's really steering the ship right now. Him and Kyle have that duo as well. So I just think Devin has a lot going, and I think Devin would have been the better option for her.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. But I did see a question pop up before earlier in the chat. I'm not going to pull it up, but it's something for me and you to say before we close this out, because really we hit the end of the episode. If we were in Jeremiah and Priscilla's shoes, like, we're not them, but we replace them. We're now the team that just won, and we're going to be picking new partners out the people that were remaining on the table. So obviously you can't pick CT. I can't pick Emmy because God, yeah, I totally want to have Emmy as partner. Who would you pick to steal?
Oh, I've already said I would actually take Devin because just what my arc is, if I'm putting myself in their shoes, I'm a physical person. I do endurance. I'm really good at all of that. Puzzles, I suck at puzzles. That's like my weakest component in life in general. I can't do them. I don't know why. And so Devin would be the perfect fit for me.
I would take Casey and I would battle Emmanuel. I'm not scared of any vampire. Like, come at me, Emmanuel. I'm going to take the person who I think has the strongest chance to run well with me in a final. I'm a smart guy. Like, I may not be the best at puzzles, but I can be at least adequate at them. So, like, I can subset where Casey lacks. So I feel like I would pick her. Because when you look at it, it's like, there's other people you could pick in terms of, like, having a good social game. But, like, Casey has the good social game, and she's a good competitor. So... yeah, so there you go. Whoever asked about that, now you know who we would be stealing and which rookies would be pissed off by it. But yeah, so that comes to the end. A war is starting. Lines are going to be drawn. We saw in the preview, it looks like Corey and Josh are going to be going at it over a challenge. It looks like maybe Corey was helping Jeremiah. Who knows? Mm-hmm. But we'll find out next time. We do have other shows on this network that are going to be coming up. Lauren, do you want to talk about what you do on Mondays?
Yeah, so we actually are going to be fluctuating our schedule each week. Myself and Alex Rubino are going to be doing a deep dive podcast about the episode of Survivor. We actually have Survivor players scheduled to come on and talk with us about it. We'll have a panel going. You'll actually see Alex on the show at some point. It's just going to be a deep dive of Survivor talk with ratings on how they did during that current episode and what they look like going into the next one. It's going to be a lot of fun. So if you're a Survivor fan, please follow it. Alex, what else you got?
Yeah, so obviously with Big Brother ending, that's one less podcast. But every Wednesday after the Survivor episode, there will be a podcast for it with Matt Bischoff, Johnny, when he's with his busy schedule. When he's able to be there, he will be there. And I'm sure they're going to have guests on there as well. I may stop by when needed every now and then. And if you want more content, you like what we're doing, become a patron at adfreensfw.com. They do a weekly Q&A, which is Matt and Johnny's favorite podcast of the week that they do. They answer the patrons' questions, and they're just like all over the place. It's a good time. They're also covering Australian Survivor 2018 season as they go through the seasons as Matt's watching them for the first time. Johnny has watched them but doesn't have full recollection of everything that has happened. So it's like a basically a new watch, a new journey. It's a very great time. You've joined the secret Facebook page with all the other patrons. It's a great family. But yeah, with that, if you liked this video, like the video. Subscribe if you aren't already subscribed, and click that bell for all notifications so you know when new podcasts are dropped or going live, as so that you can be involved in the live chat. And with that, we're going to hear from some more of our sponsors. But this is Lauren. I'm Alex. We'll see you next week.
Autumn is in the air, the pumpkins are in the patch, and our friends at Manscaped are here to make sure you don't carve your pants pumpkins when you're grooming, if you know what I'm saying. Make sure you're keeping things fresh this fall with the leaders in male grooming and their brand new 4th generation performance package. Boys, get ready for cuffing season like no other. Ready to take the leap into fall with Manscaped? Join the 2 million men worldwide using Manscaped by going to manscaped.com for 20% off and free shipping with promo code SURVIVOR.
Now listen, I have had my fair share of mishaps in the past, and going into Halloween, the guys like to dress scary. The girls like to dress inviting. And as a result, you're bound to get your pants down if you do things right. Well, you don't want a big bush down there. You want those things freshly trimmed, shaved so perfectly. Don't use a razor. Go to Manscaped. It's the only way, or you will not be getting treats, but only tricks.
It's time to bundle up with the Manscaped Performance Package 4.0. Inside this package, you'll find their Lawnmower 4.0 trimmer, Weed Whacker ear and nose hair trimmer, Crop Preserver ball deodorant, Crop Reviver toner, Performance boxer briefs, and a travel bag to hold your goodies.
First off, the new Performance Package 4.0 includes the new Lawnmower 4.0. And if you're looking to cozy up this fall, this trimmer is essential.
Their fourth generation trimmer features a cutting edge ceramic blade to reduce grooming accidents thanks to their advanced skin safe technology. It also gives you the ability to turn a 4000 LED spotlight on and off when needed for a more precise shave, plus it's waterproof.
I hate shaving in the dark. That 4000 LED spotlight, perfect. But the Performance Package 4.0 also includes the Weed Whacker to chop your worst weeds up top in your nose and ear. So you use the Lawnmower 4.0 for your rear, use this for your ear. This nose and hair trimmer uses a 9,000 RPM motor-powered 360-degree rotary dual-blade system to provide proprietary skin-safe technology, which helps against nicks, snags, and tugs in those delicate holes.
Seal the deal with Manscaped's liquid formulations. The Crop Preserver Ball Deodorant. Everyone knows pumpkin spice lattes and ball deodorant go hand in hand.
That's all they're talking about at Target these days. It's crazy. Then after trimming the pumpkin patch and whacking the leaves, give your balls a boost and use the Crop Reviver. Manscaped even threw in two free gifts to their Performance Package 4.0, the Manscaped Boxers and Shed Travel Bag. You see me on the road, I have the Manscaped Shed Travel Bag with me everywhere I go. Get comfy on the home and on the go this season.
So get 20% off and free shipping with the code SURVIVOR at manscaped.com. That's 20% off plus free shipping with the code SURVIVOR at manscaped.com. Make your balls a priority this fall. Choose Manscaped. Your balls will thank you.
Promo code SURVIVOR. I've been trying to cut down on carbs, sugar, and unhealthy food, and realize I basically can't eat anything anymore. I mean, I used to love eating that delicious cereal, but I can't. But wait, I can, thanks to Magic Spoon.
0 grams of sugar, 13 to 14 grams of protein, and only 4 net grams of carbs in each serving. That's only 140 calories a serving.
It's keto-friendly, gluten-free, grain-free, soy-free, and low-carb. Plus, build your own box. Available flavors to build your very own custom bundle are cocoa, fruity, frosted, peanut butter, blueberry, cinnamon, cookies and cream, and my new favorite, maple waffle.
Magic Spoon just recently brought back 2 super popular flavors, cookies and cream and maple waffle, just like you're talking about, Johnny. Permanently. When these flavors were first introduced for a limited time, they sold out extremely quickly. You should make sure to get these again and try them for the first time. They're delicious and indulgent.
Every morning I wake up, I look into my cabinets. All I have is Magic Spoon cereal. I have all the options. And I'll do a little bit of I'll mix some cookies of cream with a little cinnamon, maybe cocoa and peanut butter. But oh man, that maple waffle just by itself is just something so spectacular. Hey, they're perfect not only for breakfast, but that guiltless midnight snack.
So go to magicspoon.com/survivor to grab a custom bundle of cereal and try it today. And be sure to use our promo code SURVIVOR at checkout to save $5 off your order. And Magic Spoon is so confident in their product, it's backed with a 100% happiness guarantee. So if you don't like it for any reason, they'll refund your money, no questions asked.
Remember, get your next delicious bowl of guilt-free cereal at magicspoon.com/survivor and use promo code SURVIVOR to save $5 off. And thank you to Magic Spoon for sponsoring this podcast.